And then listen to this.
Radio Tonic, Tonic, Tonic. Refresh your ears on Sundays. RN presents two innovative new programs.
Radio Tonic, a heady mix of fiction, essays and drama. 3 p.m.
And then listen to this.
While Soundproof at 8 p.m. is a weekly portal into radio art, soundscapes and performance.
Take a closer listen. Radio Tonic and Soundproof. We're at the RN homepage.
Okay, you're in a dimly lit city street, dangerous people around. That's the feeling you got. They're just lurking. They're in the shadows. They're armed with dangerous weapons like razors. And they just want to bail you up and steal your money. The city I'm talking about is Sydney. And no, it's not a comment on Sydney today. This is the 1920s. I'm joined now to discuss an extraordinary story of two women who inhabited this world. Nerida Campbell joins us, curator of the Justice and Police Museum in The Rocks in Sydney. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Willie.
Tell us about these women.
Well, it's actually a mother and a daughter. So we have Ada McGuinness, who was a notorious cocaine dealer, lived in Darlinghurst, and she actually used her daughter Hazel as one of her drug runners and as, you know, almost her right-hand man in this whole enterprise.
Or woman, as the case may be. Yes. Rare for women to be involved in this sort of world in that time, or am I just being stereotypical?
No, during the 1920s, there are actually many women who were really key players in the underworld. So thinking about people like Kate Lee, who was the sly grog queen, or Tilly Devine, who ran most of the prostitutes in that same area of Sydney. A lot of strong women, a lot of hard women. You know, during that post-World War I period, when the men had gone away, the women came out to play and took over many parts of the, you know, crime enterprises in inner Sydney.
Filled the essential roles that men had played.
Absolutely. War work.
Now, there's a couple of extraordinary photos that I've had a look at today of these women. Unbelievable. Like, I don't know what it is about them. It's like they're magical. There's this charisma that leaps off the page. They're extremely realistic, even though they're old, and of course the colouring is not there and so on. We're going to have a couple of them on our website. But what is it about these photos?
Oh, the photos are really unusual and quite dynamic. So they're glass plate negatives, 6 by 4 inches, and you get a really unusual depth of field from them. But they're also special photographs. Now, these are photographs taken by the New South Wales Police of suspects. While they're still suspects, they haven't been convicted of anything.
Not so, holding up the number plate just
no,
yet.
No, not yet. So, you know, some of them are quite cocky. Some of them are downcast. Some of them are, you know, hedging their bets, and you can see that in their eyes. And in the case of Ada McGuinness, you know, she's an old lag, she's done time before, and so she's just...
you get that sense.
you do. So she's just staring down the camera, whereas her daughter Hazel is a little shyer, a little bit more tentative and uncertain, and she's sort of cast her eyes down to the side. She's not meeting the eye of the camera.
Hazel, I felt like I'd met Hazel.
Did you?
It was something ordinary, like, well, I don't mean ordinary in a pejorative sense, but just everyday about it. It's the kind of person you would run into.
Yeah, there's a sort of vulnerability about her and a gentleness almost that, you know, she exudes in these photographs. And it's interesting, we have this photo of her, and the police at the time said, well, she's been brought up in this sort of den of vice and she really didn't have a chance. And she goes before the court, the magistrate's quite lenient, gives her the equivalent of a good behaviour bond for possession of drugs. And she disappears. We don't really see her again. So
does that mean she got out of that world?
I hope so. I hope that she managed to break out of that world and, you know, find herself a better life.
What happened to Mum?
Her mother continued on offending. So she appears actually in three of the negatives in the Justice and Police Museum collection. One's an earlier one, 5 years earlier, when she was involved in counterfeiting, and a later one, which is another drugs conviction.
So there's this cocaine epidemic, apparently, in Sydney in the 1920s.
Yeah, absolutely. Post-World War I, we had quite a few problems with cocaine. And it was, you know, it was a time in Sydney where many people had lived through that dreadful period of war and then the influenza. And they were just kicking up their heels.
Or just unleashed.
Yeah, gather your flowers while you may and have a good time because, you know, life can change at any moment.
Does that extend to cocaine habitually?
Well, cocaine was an interesting sort of drug at that time. It was available available through dentists and chemists right up until, you know, the 1920s when they really started cracking down on supply. And it became very popular, particularly amongst prostitutes and standover men, people who were living in those rough areas of Sydney, Darlinghurst or the even rougher Surry Hills.
So we're talking about inner city Sydney, effectively.
Yes.
Was there something particularly about Sydney? I mean, would this be a story that couldn't be an Adelaide story or a Melbourne story or a Brisbane story?
I think Sydney at that time had, you know, some unusual factors that came together. We had areas like Darlinghurst and Surry Hills, women like Kate Lee, Tilly Devine, and some of the men like Frankie Green, who were very interested in pushing those drugs out and making money out of them. And, you know, Sydney was a hub for people coming in from regional areas. So farmers would be coming into the city, selling their stocks, had, you know, a pocket full of money, and they'd be off to have a good time. Darlinghurst, Surry Hills, cocaine was something new and exotic and exciting at that time.
So how long did it take to clean it up?
It took quite some time. It wasn't until the 1930s that they really got hold of it and stopped the supply.
So I understand people would appear under all sorts of different aliases in this sort of environment. That's the way that it worked. You mentioned that Hazel had just disappeared. We lost trace of her.
Yes.
Is it possible she appeared in a different guise?
Oh, absolutely. At this time, names and identities were really very fluid. So her mother, Ada, was also known as Edith Mitchell, Edith Kavanagh, and she has quite a long list of aliases in the police gazettes.
It's an extraordinary story.
It is.
It really is an extraordinary story. How do you relate to it as a woman? You look at this now. Do you see yourself reflected in this? Is this a world that you could imagine yourself inhabiting?
I can't even imagine the world that these women inhabited. You know, a time when there was no social welfare network. That, you know, if you didn't have work, if you're an unmarried mother, you know, times were really tough. And so some women just went out there and made their way in that criminal world.
Any way they could.
Yeah.
So the exhibition's on now?
The exhibition's opening on the 26th of July. That's okay. The new turnover with Ada's story. The City of Shadows exhibition is still currently on. So, yeah, 85 years after the photograph was taken, her story will be up in the museum.
Amazing. And that museum that I'm speaking of is the Justice and Police Museum. It's at the Rocks, in the Rocks District in Sydney. Nerida, thank you so much for bringing it to our attention.
Thank you, Waleed.
That's Nerida Campbell, who is curator of that museum. It's 22 minutes to 8. Waleed Ali with you for Drive Drawing Room now.